Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiancé.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Well, Pee-wee, I told you, we got all dolled up and all that stuff. I got Botox for him, and I got my hair done. He didn't say a thing about it.
I'm so glad you let me stay, Mom. Thanks so much. I was worried you're gonna get rid of me.
Not yet. I mean,
what?
I said you look good today, Pee-wee.
Thanks, Mom. When can we kill Cody? Y'all.
It's the single life season 2, Attack of the Trolls.
Living that single life, dating around without my wife.
Okay. That was a play on Spotlight, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, when we used to do Sissy Spotlight, and a segment no one cared about. Y'all, we get messages every once in a while. They're like, hey, you should record people doing an audio thing on the show. And I'm like, yeah, we did, and no one ever sent anything in. People are like, I guess they just got rid of it. No, y'all got rid of it. We were like, they're going to be so happy to leave a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show.
And we did it for our $15 level of our Patreon.
No,
we're sorry,
cared.
Y'all. This isn't Frasier Crane's show. Yeah. You're not going to get to call in and leave a fucking message. Mostly because I vet every fucking thing that happens on this show, and I'm not going to let you in otherwise.
Also, you're not going to get it because we didn't ruin it. You did.
We were like, oh, do we have a spotlight? No, nothing.
No, not this week. Okay, I guess we're... What about this next week? Still nobody.
Oh, Eliza left one last week.
Yeah, she called again. We love you, Eliza.
We love you, Eliza.
We do. Very much. So, okay, anybody. So, all right, everybody. I just said, okay, anybody.
Okay, anybody's.
Anybody's.
Wait, have I talked about West Side Story yet?
You haven't.
You said that in the most dismissive way.
You haven't, because this is going to be a long...
I'll save it to the free show.
I feel like you should save it for the free show.
I'll save it for free feed.
Yeah, we saw it together. We enjoyed it. But we'll talk about
the character of anybody's laid me bare. I never thought that role could be like that. Oh.
We need to move on.
Anyway, so many things I want to talk about.
Y'all, this
y'all
is season
go see
two.
That movie. Go see West Side Story on Christmas.
Go see it.
Sick of hearing people saying musicals don't do well at the box office. I'm sick of it.
I will say, people like will comment or ask, they'll say, I'm thinking about seeing it, but is it good as the first one? I'm like, it's better. And then every single person that came back said, you were right.
You mean as good as the first one? Oh, I don't want to compare the two.
Well, but people are. I mean, it's
yeah, but I don't think you can compare a movie that was made in the 60s with, according to those standards, for a movie that was made 60 years later.
But about the same subject matter? Yeah, you
know.
No,
it's the same story. But I'm saying to say something is better or worse.
But people are going to do that. If you...
But do you really think it's better?
If you fucked a guy in his 20s and then you fucked him again in his 40s, wouldn't you compare it?
No, unless he'd had complete revisions done to all of his his storyline, his body, and everything else. So I don't think I could compare the two.
Oh, okay. I would.
Because it's not the same person. This is now it's illustrative of different ideas. We're living in works of art take on the characteristics of the time they're living in.
I agree. I totally agree with you. But
no, I'm just saying, I don't think it's fair for you to say one's better than the other.
But I think people are. I think people...
No, you said when someone asked you, so you think the film is, you think you can say that film is better than the original.
To me,
I don't think those comparisons are fair. That's okay. What I was saying.
Yeah, okay.
But you do. I do think they're fair.
Yeah, I think in this case I do, yeah. But I also 100% agree with you. It's representative of the time.
Right.
So it's...
So I'm saying there shouldn't be a judgment.
But I think when people are coming to me saying, though, they are already... So the questioner is always already asking me if it's... They're saying, but the first one's so good.
Oh, I see.
So I'm saying thought it was better. And so when they're coming to ask me that, that's how I'm going to answer. But I could give a long answer and say what you just said, and they're going to roll their eyes and say, delete, tweet, delete, tweet, delete, tweet. But I agree with you. Well, save it for the free show. It'll be a good thing to talk about.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, y'all.
I need to discuss this with you because I think there's a better way of saying that doesn't discount the movie that was made in the 60s.
Sure. I don't care anymore. Let's talk about The Single Life, y'all. Okay, so this is called Leave You and Deceive You. Why is it called that?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a big cred thing because we're not talking about
him. I think Leave You is St. John and Deceive You is Jennifer.
Well, she did.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
But first, y'all, we're going to talk about debt on her date with Jay. Boy, this had a turnaround I didn't expect.
I was a little shocked about this.
But because Jay seems odd.
Yeah.
But then Debbie's not.
Kind of looks like if a raccoon was enlarged to the size of a human being but was older.
And had a red nose.
Yeah.
It's a very red nose.
Kind of a combination of a badger. A human badger and a raccoon.
Yeah.
With a little walrus thrown in.
Yeah, he does look like a living embodiment of a character. What's that from? Is it the Toad's Place? The one where there was Badger.
Toad Hall. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, all
of
that.
But all of those little animals.
He does look like one of those.
He does look like one of those, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's what he's like, just
when
said.
When I first saw him, she looked, when I first saw her, I thought she had an elderly side to her. Looked on the elderly side. But then she got all like dolled up and I was impressed.
I was impressed.
And the producer's like, "Why didn't you say that to her?" And he's like, "Oh, I thought I did." What?
I thought I did. Give it time. But you know what? I'm going to take her to a nice place called Hunt Ridge Tavern. This is a fucking dive bar.
It's a dive bar. It's a little sketch. Someone wrote in saying this is actually a historic place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But anyway.
Well, then that, maybe it's kitsch.
And so it is, it's super awkward. And he said, so they said some games over there.
There's just some awkward silence, y'all.
Y'all, these date games, I guess this is okay for other people. I think it gets people talking, I guess. But some of these things will get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something. You go, yeah.
Yeah, I know it would.
Yeah.
It's
silence.
It just depends on your personality. If you're the type that we have to play a game for you to talk to me, you and I are not a match.
I agree.
And you're that way too. Some people, however, are not. Especially, I imagine, people that feel either introverted or are shyer but still want to date.
See, I'm an introvert.
But you're also a whore.
True. But so, I'm saying I can talk to one person at a time. Introverts can talk to, usually introverts are much better one-on-one.
They are usually better one-on-one. But still, but whether it's shyness, introvert, which is not the same thing.
Right.
Or it's someone who is just, is, I don't know, I guess not that
inquisitive. Socially awkward.
Yeah, social awkwardness. They can be a good thing for that.
And I think Debbie
in this case, it worked out really well.
Yeah, so they're playing the game, and one says, you're attracted to someone you meet, and talking about one-night stands.
One-night stands,
and
yeah.
He's like, no, I don't do them. Debbie's like, I would. I did them in the 60s.
Sure did, Mom.
I was there for all of them.
Yeah. Still remember that party on the beach? Oh, I had sand everywhere.
And then the next one's like, Jay says, you're offered to be $100,000 to be on a centerfold. And immediately Debbie's like, hell yeah!
Yeah, I'd do it. And it's a lot of money.
I hope I get on the good side, Mom.
And Debbie says, I'm having a good time enjoying myself.
And he says, all of a sudden,
speaking of beach, yeah.
He just goes, what if you were looking on the beach and you see some people walking around and they're having sex and Debbie's like, no, you walk away. He's like, no, you take pointers.
Jay, you learn from others. And I was like, okay,
he's a little
freaky. Good for you, Jay. And then they're having a good time in life. And he's like, well, hate to cut this short, but work.
Got to go home.
Work comes first in my life. Wasn't that weird how he said that?
It was. I just think he's awkward.
Well,
really
also,
awkward.
I think this has come up as a point of contention in past relationships. So he wants to make it very clear that work comes first.
Right.
What happened? Who sent you a dick pic?
No, it's my family and my cousins. Everyone's texting about wanting
to. Why don't you read that later when we're not performing a podcast?
You just looked on your phone.
I looked for my phone last to look for a song that went over horribly.
didn't work. Didn't even go over horribly.
I would use my watch sometimes when I was waiting for cancer reports from my father, but not to know who's bringing the fucking green bean casserole to Christmas.
No, this is my cousin's.
Why don't you check in?
Fine, I'll do it later. So
you just want to know when you're going to be able to leave your mother's house and go drink with your cousins.
Kinda.
Yeah.
So also, we can't be inside of a bar. I will not do that.
Well, isn't the weather going to be cold?
They have heat lamps.
Is it going to be warm though? Maybe while you're there.
Can we not? Can we focus on the item at hand?
You're looking on your phone, not even focusing.
Anyway, he says I got to get up early for work because work's important, and he said, but
important.
Could we continue this on another date?
Huh?
And so I was like, okay.
What'd he say, Mom?
I know, Pee. I didn't know what to say about it.
Boy, color me surprised.
We're not going to kill him just yet, Pee Wee.
Oh, man, I was going to get happy.
So he says, you know, you're just a plain Jane. And Debbie's like, what?
She's like, that's not a what nice way.
He's can like, we kill him now, Mom?
He's like, maybe, Pee-wee. Let me explain himself.
And he said, no, I you're like that you're just person. A normal person. Like,
say that. Now, and she's like, he's funny.
And then Jay said, we could continue this all night if I didn't have to work.
Well, anyway, he walks her to the door. She gets in the door
gives
her a hug. And then he says to camera, maybe next time we'll get into more of my background.
Because there's something in my past she needs to know about.
What is it? Three balls? I've been in jail?
Yeah.
I think he's been incarcerated.
Okay. I think...
bad divorce?
Witness protection.
Oh, he couldn't do the show.
Possibly. Possibly. I
you don't
like
just get out of witness protection
you don't.
Until someone dies who wants to put a hit on you.
That's true. That's true.
I think he's been incarcerated or because I don't think children would be a problem at that time.
No.
Yeah. Maybe incarceration, probably drug addiction past. But I don't know. What would you tell someone on the second date?
Seven wives.
Oof.
I could see a lot of wives.
Extra toe?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Debbie's going to be fine with almost anything.
Yeah, none of that. Anything we just said, Debbie's still in. Just so y'all know.
So let's talk about St. John, y'all. This is actually a really sad, segment that I found myself moved. I teared up.
I'm just going to say this now. I'm actually almost on the verge of heartbroken for Taniya.
Me too.
I feel really sorry for her because...
I feel sorry for him too. He lost...
I do feel sorry for him. I think what I feel sorry for Taniya, we told this, but the lie that she's been telling to herself about what St. John could be in her life is finally, she realizes that was all just her own lie.
Yep.
Y'all, he's moving out the next... Because what's so sad is... He's moving out the next morning. Poodle has said this before. Taniya really presented herself like she was a cool girl, this empowered woman. And she is an empowered woman, but
empowered women.
But this cool
powerful,
girl,
empowered
but,
woman.
Y'all, he's going to start to drive to Arizona to live with his friend.
She's like, I'll ride with you.
She offered to go on the road trip. He said no. So we see her getting ready. We're like, well, what's she getting ready? She comes in a robe, all her makeup on, and she wanted to have like a romantic, fun night. The night before he's leaving her.
Oh, I was like, Taniya, honey. This is a rookie move.
This is a rookie. Well, this is a codependent move.
Yeah. Anyway, she's like, do you recognize these? These are our wedding glasses. And I was like, and those are hideous.
They're disgusting. They are so gross. They're horrible wedding glasses.
They're awful goblets, too.
And they're like glass and then red. And they're cheap glass. We'll find out later.
Oh! When she said wedding glasses,
I did, too. Ugh. Golly. They're not even like Pier 1 sale glasses.
No. It's
Pier
awful.
Pier 1 had great
awful,
glasses.
Awful. So St. John says...
RIP Pier 1. I think it's still open online.
St. John said, I'm so sad that this couldn't last. And he's like, and St. John says,
you look fucking sexy. She says, thank you. And she said, well, I feel like you didn't try as hard as you could have.
Before that, he said, I feel like I have almost as his ease now that we're breaking up. She kind of looked at him, and that was why.
That was,
And she's like, and I think this is so interesting, you guys, that Taniya is bound and determined to make him feel like the one who is wounding her here.
Yes.
And also to feel bad.
And yet at the same time, I think she wants to tell him what he needs to hear for.
Yeah. It is both those things.
She is right where St. John, Taniya basically says, you lived your life to make me happy here. And in a way he did. I think St. John's kind of selfish, but... He's also this, he will never it kind of speak to his own needs.
Right. But it was Taniya saying things like,
you really are starting to like her because you've been calling her Taniya. Yeah, I know. And it's really offensive to me. You need to fucking fix it.
She basically says things like, you know, you are living your life for me. And I told you not to.
She told him not to,
y'all,
but her actions did not.
Y'all.
Her actions, she made him focus on her.
Yeah. And she will always have that out of saying, I told you not to make me your focus here.
She said, I told you I would move somewhere else. And she said, but you knew I liked living by my family, but I would have moved somewhere else. And I went, that's really unfair because that's really saying, hey, I know you thought you were making the best decision, but you fucked up.
Because
it's not like he made a bet. He was trying to do what he thought was best for his family.
And it does seem like they talk a lot about it. They talk things out endlessly.
Constantly.
But it's all in the same circle, and nothing ever really gets resolved. And what's weird, you guys, he's trying to support her, even though he's kind of a child emotionally. But he's a child who wants to support her emotionally at the same time.
Yes, because she even says, you were so bored here and you did nothing but complain about how bored and terrible you felt here. She's spot on. She's like, she says choices, but she should say, what actions were you making to change it? Because St. John, because we learned this whenever Taniya left, y'all. St. John, he actually, it's like he that, I guess it's the South African in him where he doesn't want to a woman maybe to tell him what to do, even though he's much better than fucking Ronald.
Ugh.
But just culture, maybe.
God, do we ever have to say that name or cover him ever again?
Let's hope not. But he says.
Fucking terrible.
But she's right. Sinjin doesn't act on his own accord to improve his life, really.
No, she's right.
That's why this is a big deal that he finally is saying things like, I've got to leave. But he only is leaving because she said, if you're dating other people, you have to leave.
Yeah. That's what it felt like to me, that he was leaving so he could date, which is unfortunate.
I feel like
he's moving to Arizona, so it's a bigger life change.
But I feel like they are a great example of a codependent relationship.
Yeah. I think they're also a great example of you guys.
A different way that, I'm sorry, let me just preface, a different way that we don't, a lot of time we think, a different way of looking at codependency where they both almost need one another to, they both need one another to not just love with, go ahead.
To fill in their version of how the world should be.
Yes.
For each of them. And to fix in the other that's broken in them.
The person, not even on paper, but they were, Sinjin, the thing that, this is what I was trying to say, the thing that Sinjin and Tania bonded over is they're both probably fucking Enneagram 4s.
Yeah.
They've got to be different.
Tania's an Enneagram 4. Sinjin's probably more of a five or three.
But I think Sinjin still wants to be unique. Wants to be different, and they both kind of bond over that. They, like you said, filled in the story for what that I picked up and travel. I'm my own man. I left my home country.
It's a more romanticism of life.
Yeah.
Which they both have. And
because he's a big romantic.
Yeah. And the one thing I think about why I think this was good to see on television is we were not seeing the traditional person breaking up with someone and the other person either being the person who's broken up with. Both of these people are hurting so much. And
so
a breakup does, even if one person's acting like it's not hurting them, it is.
It
You're
is.
Just not seeing it.
And also, sometimes our breakups can happen where you not only still love the person, but you... It's painful. So it's painful to stay. Y'all, the reason why people, I think, break up is that, at least for them, Sinjin realized the pain, and Tania too, the pain of being together is more than the pain the pain of separating is less than the pain of being together, but it's still really painful.
And I will say, it was compelling to see these people break up in a way that we don't usually see on reality shows.
Because normally it's you break up and it's like, it's, or even like a John and were just talking about Lalu. Like they break up and they're out of the picture. It's dramatic and they're back together.
Or there's one person who's angry and says like that this person's angry and this person is sad. Or they're both angry. So when both people are mourning over something great that they had.
It's mourning. It was true mourning.
We don't often see that on shows like this.
We don't. And it's honestly... kudos to them. This was a really fucking brave thing to do on television.
I agree.
I applaud them both for it.
So anyway, that night he breaks their glass.
Yeah, because they get into a fight. They're full on
crying,
fighting out.
He's crying his eyes out.
Well, we should say before that, he gets really angry and says...
stop blaming me for shit.
Yeah. She says again, you need to put yourself first in front of me. You wouldn't listen to me. And this is where she really triggers him. She said... because Tania always says, if he would listen to me, he'll be okay.
She knows how to wind him up, too.
She said, if you would have listened to me and what I'm saying, you wouldn't be moving. And that's where Sinjin just blows up and he says, I'm not here to make you happy. She's like, that's what I'm trying to say. But it's not.
No.
And so Sinjin says, I've been trying to make you happy for 3.5 years. I'm fucking done. That's when she leaves. He cries on the couch. And that's when he literally just breaks that fucking cheap glass.
And I think that wasn't intentional.
I don't think it was intentional at all. And he even said, this is a metaphor. Our relationship is just in pieces.
This, I think if there is a retrospective of season two of moments, I think I'm going to remember this moment.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
This is a big moment.
Yeah. So when Sinjin breaks the glass, the next day, you guys, he apologizes, she's apologizing, and she even admitted, I just kind of know what it takes to get under your skin sometimes.
And nag you, yeah.
And honestly, that is the one thing, Tanya's self-awareness and the self-awareness...
Who?
Tania's. Sorry, it's probably getting a problem.
I'm going to kick you off the fucking show. I will.
Tania!
I will call Mary Payne and say, Poodle can't talk about Tania anymore.
The problem that, the thing about what she has given to Sinjin is this a little bit of self-awareness about how he feels. Because I guarantee you didn't really have a lot before he met her.
No, and I think because he moved all the way to, I think he had to he just really took himself out of his life.
And they both can talk through things in a much healthier way than a lot of people.
They could. He goes to hug her goodbye, his car's packed, he gives her a letter.
Oh.
And then he starts crying.
Three protection stones.
She starts ugly crying,
yeah.
Y'all.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, even though he said, yeah, we loved each other so much, I always felt like I protected you, so I'm giving you these protection stones. And he said, I love protecting you, and I hope these stones
will.
This
is when I cried a little bit.
And so he said, I want you to find happiness. I want you to be happy.
I'll always love you.
I always love you. She's like, he's crying. I mean, I just wrote, this is fucking brave.
Yeah.
This was like riveting television.
But I think... this has been the most adult-like breakup we've ever seen on 90 Day Fiancé.
I think ever.
Yeah.
I think we could, for us, ever.
And I'm going to say this probably, in a weird way, the healthiest breakup?
Yes, and probably that we ever will see.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
Maybe when they broke up, but I bet, what's her name who became a lesbian? Or not became, but went into a lesbian relationship, then now she's with a guy.
Chelsea and Ymir.
Ymir. I bet they had Chelsea was like, listen, we're going to have to break up because I'm in love with Susan. And he's like, what? Mylabox? She's like, you're going to write a new single about it, and it's going to be great.
It's like, okay.
I promise.
It's like, you know what? They probably had a good one.
They probably had a good breakup.
But yeah, all these other motherfuckers, y'all, yelling, throwing things, screaming.
Yes. Ymir, put him on the single life.
No one remembers him anymore.
But they would. It's such a good... they really should go back and...
he's older now. He was on the...
Bears All. But they should do that. They should bring back some of... y'all, because you know some of these relationships are ended.
That is true. A lot of them have been around, though.
That's true. Poodle, I gotta tell you. I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
no one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Can we talk about Yennefer and Jesse?
From this beautiful moment of a real raw relationship to just
Dinner with Kakwa.
Y'all, by the way, we have followed Kakwa on Instagram. His Instagram used to suck, and now he realized...
He has... Let's say he's pumped it up a little bit.
Let's just say he's putting some shirtless pictures on there. Y'all, his chest looks like North Dakota and South Dakota. Just two broad states sitting by each other that you just want to plant your foundation of your home on.
Oh, just wide open prairie.
Oh, cool. I mean, he is...
Room to graze.
He's a man. He's just must... Oh.
And it's a huge dick.
Huge.
Thick.
Y'all,
thick.
I'm telling you now, I am signing up for that OnlyFans, and I'm putting it on...
Kakwa?
I'm putting it
Andres,
on...
Andres Kakwa. He goes
I'm
by his surname.
Putting it on our business card.
Yes, it's business
My
expense.
Says, what does it say? O-O-F Kakwa on your billing statement. I said, research.
Kakwa, you get on that OnlyFans.
Get on it.
Ooh, so I can get off.
Gross.
It was a play on words, you bitch.
Well, I can just see because Poodle and I are cheap, so I'll sign up for it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we'll
we're
share
only doing
an OnlyFans account, and I'll be like, text, hey, why are we blocked from Kakwa's account today?
Cease and desist order.
Okay.
I was sending him too many messages.
Okay. Well, that was fun while we had it.
Yep. Yep. So... They're at dinner still, and
well,
Jesse
just
says,
"What did you tell him about me?" And he licks his braces lips.
Says,
"Jennifer's like, we do not need to talk about that." And, y'all, she's a horrible liar.
Oh, and
she is a horrible liar.
And you know the worst thing
she's
about
a really shitty.
The
person.
Worst thing about this this scene, you guys, I know because. We all kind of have the worst side of ourselves. It's a little bit Jennifer. And Jennifer was absolutely loving watching Kakwa.
Loving it.
There was a part of her that was reveling in this.
I actually think wow, Jesse's with a worse person than himself. She really is.
She's
the villain
so
of
gross.
These. She is actually... She is just sinister.
Yeah, Jesse in his fake, weird, passive-aggressive, shaming ways.
He thinks he's doing the right thing.
Are dwarfed comparatively to hers. Yes,
he thinks he's doing the right... She's like fucking Michelle Pfeiffer in Stardust.
Wow.
That's a good movie.
It's a gay reference.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, you made me watch it.
And you liked it.
But then when Robert De Niro was gay at the end, I was kind of like, really?
I didn't mind that. What's his name was so hot in that movie?
Ben Barnes? Is that his name? Charlie Cox?
Charlie Cox.
I get them confused.
That is Charlie Cox. He's Daredevil now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Riveting.
Wow.
What we learned on our show.
Oh, and we just found out about Kingpin on Hawkeye. It's so good, y'all.
You watch Hawkeye?
Oh, I watch all the Marvel. That's like the one thing. It's so good.
Hawkeye's
is so good.
Haley
Steinfeld is great on it. Jeremy Renner is great. It's a great show. Love it.
I just think Jeremy Renner comes off as a punk to me.
Oh, and
there's just something about it.
He's got like a fat face you want to punch. Like,
yeah.
Even when he's thin, he's got kind of like puffy cheeks, and you just want to like slap him.
No,
in the
just
face.
The actor. It's the actor that bothers me. I don't know why.
That. And the woman that plays,
I tried Loki, but I couldn't get into it.
I liked Loki, but it took like about 3 or 4 episodes to get into. But then it kind of all started to make sense when he met the girl Loki, and who.
Thanks for the spoiler.
There. You know, there's a bunch of
never
Lokis.
Gonna watch it now.
It was good though. You would like the end of you would like because it kind of goes off the rails.
I love Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Did you ever see the thing where he talks about his bisexuality?
Yes.
Y'all, Loki was gay.
No, he was bi.
He's bi. He's whatever. He's been alive. But anyway, no, the woman that plays Scarlett Johansson's sister, who plays from the Black Widow movie, she's in Hawkeye too, and she's great. And her mom. Oh, that actor. You would like that
actor.
We
need to move on.
Okay, sorry.
Remind me never to talk about Marvel.
Y'all, it's only
Nerd
6
out.
Episodes. And speaking of Eliza, she's freaking out right now. Go, yes!
So I wrote down, she loves this. And they asked, Jesse asks about Takakwa, were you in a relationship? And finally, Jennifer says, we dated for a little bit, for like 2 months.
And Jesse's Kakwa, like, it's pretty obvious. And
Kakwa looks at Jesse and says, you're all red.
Yeah, he says, you're all right.
And he was. And because Jesse feels humiliated right here in front of this alpha male, which he thinks he is.
Jesse's not smart, but he's not stupid. But y'all, even if they don't know how to react to it, even the we can all feel energy.
Oh yeah,
it's innate to us. Now we have
to turn off something not to feel it.
Like you have to be like a full on sociopath not to.
Yeah,
but even then, sociopaths feed off. They know that energy and they feed off of it. Y'all, he says he's obviously something's going on, and he gets it, and he even says, I don't want there to be confusion on each side. And meanwhile, Kakwa is like, I'm sure when she breaks up with Jesse, she's going to be with me.
And Kakwa does this fucking, such a transgressive move in English. She says, for me, never I leave you, to Jennifer.
He said, never I leave you. And Kakwa says to Jesse, what's the most important thing for you? And Jesse says, well, a relationship. If I don't have a partner, then I have nothing.
He's like, okay, so you think you're gonna have a relationship with her, and
Jesse doesn't really answer the question.
Mm-hmm. And later on, they finished with dinner,
and Jesse said, "I thought this was her gay best friend."
Jesse says, "Trust is number one for me." Blah blah blah. And you know, Jesse's just spouting out Instagram platitudes at one point.
But here's the deal, y'all. They're in the car. Jennifer, fucking. And we've seen people lie on this show, and you can tell that they're kind of probably doing it a little bit for cameras or kind of it's fakery. Like, if you want, we posted on Instagram, but the guy who went on the date with Stephanie, we should talk about that single life.
Yeah.
The guy who went on a date, he wrote an article called, like, I went on
in
a,
Medium.
Medium. I went on a date with a girl from 90 Day Fiancé who sells farts. Whatever.
It was a funny article.
It's a funny article, but it was very validating to Poodle and I, because everything we kind of said
about
was dead on. Just about Stephanie, but also about the way this show
was
conducted.
The show works, yeah.
Anyway, it was like one thing, this is just because we've talked about this like with on before the 90 Day, is that like one of the rules the producers tell them, 90 Day Fiancé does not exist.
Right.
You don't talk about
show.
It. And went, okay, that's why baby woman Lisa, new baby GL, never mentions that she saw him on. So
the show doesn't exist. Is such a smart.
Oh, yeah. What just happened outside your door?
Someone drinks a lot of wine in this building, and they're putting their recyclables.
Which one?
I don't know. I just
don't
hear
look
them
out
doing
the window.
It. No, because I let people live their lives.
You just couldn't make.
No, you're just so fucking nosy. You'll always do it.
Tell me you haven't go to look and you didn't make it in time.
Maybe.
Exactly. So she's just fucking, and he's like, so. I thought y'all were friends. She's like, there was nothing. It was never serious. Lie
he said
one.
There was no relationship. She said there was no relationship. We were dating. And
he
lie
said, you could have been honest. You could have just said that you're dating someone.
Lie number two. Well, there was no intimacy.
Well, no. Lie number two was she was never in a relationship.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she said that. And so
they
she
were
lied
dating.
Again.
We weren't in a relationship.
And Jesse fools on says, so there was no fucking.
She goes, no intimacy. Now, she says, then she, in the moment, like, immediately, she says, intimacy
in
is a very big word.
Big word. And did you see Jesse's face kind of look? He knows they fucked.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, were you upset at yourself that you got a little turned on when Jesse said the word fucking?
A little bit. A little bit.
I did too.
Fucking her.
So, but yeah, he knows, y'all. He kind of looks, his face turns red again, and he kind of looks out the window, and then he looks at her, and she says, I'm telling him that we never had intimacy.
I could not believe
and the producer
I was
said,
having empathy for Jesse.
Yes, and the producer
cannot
said,
believe.
So you've never had sex, and she
with
said,
Kakwa.
No.
And the producer's like, Gary?
Gary,
roll the tape.
Right, short thing, boy.
Yeah, y'all.
Oh, we just found Gary.
Gary did the equivalent. The producers did the equivalent of Gary, roll the tape.
Gary, roll the tape.
And they told her, yeah, Kakwa said he was the best sexual partner you ever had.
And then they show the tape of him saying it.
And she goes, y'all, she's in blink.
This is why she is like fucking evil.
Yeah.
She just smiles and she said,
she's like, no, he's just lying to people. He's bragging.
He's bragging.
We never got that far.
He's lying.
Now, even if she, I'm going to use this as an example. Even if she is right and they never got there, she is fully insinuated it used to happen. She loves that he talks about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even it's so it's just as bad in a way.
So you're telling me Jennifer's talking about that sex is the most important thing in the relationship,
yes,
and you have to
yes
have sex so quickly,
yes,
and you dated that guy
yeah
who's like fucking a Disney cartoon version of just dick. You're telling me that you dated that guy and you never had sex with him.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, y'all, no.
Yeah.
That's like Poodle going on a date with Kakwa and
ugh
not.
Ooh, he'd earn his name by the end.
He would barely make it out of the Uber.
Can we stay here?
Yeah. He was like, just tip him more.
That's all I've got.
All right.
Oh, shall we move on to Nitli?
Drive, Jolanta, drive!
Jolanta. I'm desperate for child. Someone just knock me up now.
Knock me up now. Y'all, they're going to the beach, her and Jolanta, and they're going to go see Ryan. Remember her hairstylist.
Wow, we can't pay. We have to pay friends for
oh, boy.
Jolanta might be her friend, Jolanta.
I think so.
But Ryan is her stylist, y'all.
Ryan is her stylist, y'all. He charged. I hope, Ryan, I hope you charge your day, right?
So, y'all, they're talking about her slapping Johnny.
She's like, he wanted to touch me all the time.
And she's like, I'm like animal that needs shh, shh.
I'm like a wild feral kit, and I need someone to put it through. Now, here it is. She said, Natalie says, the thing here with Natalie, y'all, Natalie, we find out, Natalie, in a way, this is what I tell therapists all. People would come to me, and they'd be like, I don't even know why. I don't even know why. Natalie has the awareness of why.
Yeah.
Y'all, why does not fix your problems? It's, as I said before, it's the what, the how, the when, all that kind of stuff that you have to put in place of behaviors to actually fix any type of physical, emotional problem in your life. Because Natalie said, she's like, I tried to kiss him and I hit him. And Jolanta says, are you crazy?
Jolanta's like, you see this rock? That's what happened when I just closed my eyes and I let him kiss me.
And Natalie says, I think maybe I translated it wrong. And that's where she says that she's been a cat. And she goes into like, she's so hurt. And she's so, she can't be able to trust.
Well, here's the thing. And I want to separate Natalie's experience from just simply having boundaries. That's not what this is. This is a trauma response to being touched or
yeah
having personal space issues. That's a trauma response.
And I think actually, they didn't seem to at first, but Ryan and Jolanta came about in a healthy way of trying to explain that difference, because they were trying to say, but if you like someone.
Right.
Jolanta said, what's wrong with a kiss on the cheek? And
or a kiss on the first date or sleeping with
someone. And Jolanta says, they're not going to be able to read your mind. And Natalie's like, you're wrong. I did that. And
well,
at first, she completely spirals out. And Jolanta. Yeah. I want to say something that really kind of bothered me, y'all. I'm fucked up with my brain.
I'm fucked up in my brain.
But I will say this, y'all. I don't really like to do this a lot on this show, but this is heresy, and we have this is an exclusive. Probably you're only going to get here. a vicious, vicious, vicious lie was told on this show. Jolanta looks right at Ryan and says, Ryan, are you single? And he's like, yeah, I'm single. And she said, do you kiss on the first date?
And I screeched.
And Ryan goes, rarely. Don't.
It's happened.
Maybe once or twice.
Y'all, it's when it's.
We don't want to speak for all gay people. But we're going to speak for all gay
people. Yeah, I'm going to speak for all gay people.
Gay men.
Here's the thing. When it's happy hour at Boy Bar,
if you're
you've kissed on the first date.
When you're wearing that swimsuit and you have those tattoos,
you've kissed on the first date. You've jerked on the first date.
Yeah, you've given an old-fashioned. Yeah, an old-fashioned, a wristy.
Oh.
An old-fashioned, that's just an old-fashioned, just a good
hand job. I said jerked.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just the same thing.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I've never heard that as an old fashioned.
Oh, yeah. Come to me if you call a hand job an old fashioned.
Why isn't it old fashioned?
I don't know. I just heard that growing up.
Wow. Did not know that.
I had the kid that family, his dad was from, the one kid that said it, the only time I heard it, he was from like East Coast. Like,
I'd give you an old fashioned.
His dad was from Philly and he would say that. And then I noticed we have a mutual friend, Paul, a casting guy, and he's from Philly. And he's called it an old fashioned once too. So maybe
Philly,
it's
Philly sissies maybe. is a jerk off an old fashioned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you heard Risty?
No, I think you made that up.
No, I've heard Risty too.
No, I've never heard it.
A Risty?
I've never heard of that.
What do you call a jerk off?
A hand job.
Boy, you're just crude. Just crude. Anyway, sorry. I just had to get that out of there. Breaking news.
I thank you for that because I thought the same thing. But I keep wanting to say, having boundaries with a date, you guys, which Johnny was touching her a lot. Instead of reacting like she did, she could have said firmly, no, stop touching me.
Do we think Johnny was kind of creepy?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
So that's why.
And we said, good to have boundaries. This has ceased to be helpful boundaries.
It's actually not even about Johnny.
No.
She's going to act probably this way with 99.9% of guys she dates. And Jolanta just says to her, she's like, well, you might be missing stuff. And Natalie says, I'm not a whore.
And I think this just tells you,
this is
her
black and white thinking.
This just tells you, in no way is Natalie ready to date.
Not
in no universe.
All.
In no universe is Natalie ready to go out on dates with others by herself on single men.
But, and then we find out the reason she's wanted, it's not even because she's desperate for a child and she needs to have a child. She's 37, I think she said.
And at one point, her age keeps changing. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, it does.
And Ryan just gives this yikes face, like, like, I know they're paying me for this, but they didn't pay me enough.
I might not have a child at all. And then that's where we find out. She says, my mom, after she was born. What? She doesn't say born. How did she say it?
After I was...
Came out?
After
or
I was brought forth or brought forth after I entered world or something.
So her mother was with her father. Then she was born. And then he divorced his mom and went with another woman and completely abandoned them.
Cut them off.
And cut them off.
And she
off.
Was raised by her mother and all of the pain. So she was probably raised in this house of resentment to her father.
Because her mother seems like the type that is would probably be resentful.
Well, she said, I grew up in pain.
In pain. And I wrote, and again, y'all, we don't want to be right.
We don't want to be right.
We don't want to be right. But again, we call this like the first season.
Yeah.
I think we were just talking about like 2 or 3 months ago, like why we've never heard from her dad.
Y'all, there's a reason it's called Daddy Issues. And
it's a real thing.
It's
daddy
a real thing.
Daddy issues, mommy issues are a real thing. And Natalie says, which is sad because this is what she thinks about herself. She says she's a complicated, broken person who wants a family. Pardon me. But she's like, there's so much pain inside of me, I can't.
That's why you go talk to someone.
But
it's never going to happen.
Maybe Natalie would, but that's just not part. I don't think Natalie's going to use BetterHelp.
No.
But I mean, culture-wise, but maybe she would try it.
She needs a trauma therapist.
Something, she's an actual trauma
something
therapist.
Needs to work through because that's what I'm saying from season two when she was in Mike's house, she's trapped in this trauma response, y'all.
Yeah.
Every time she's stressed, it goes into just like her when she's with Yolanta and Ryan, she goes into trauma response then.
It, y'all, because it really feels like, because that, like sometimes she would have uncontrollable laughing in awkward situations,
yep.
That's trauma.
Yeah.
And I don't feel for Mike because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But
I understand him
you
more.
You understand him and you know that in a lot of ways, I do think probably at first he was trying to do the best that he thought he could.
Yeah.
Because I do think he cared for her in some weird
way. She's not well, y'all.
She's not mentally well.
She's not well.
And y'all, if you find yourself relating to Natalie, I will say again, like find a therapist, but specifically look for a trauma therapist.
I would agree because those responses she's having, you guys, intense anger, intense fear, intense laughter, that's because your emotions are not yours.
They're not regulated.
Yeah.
You're not able to regulate your emotions.
Yeah.
And Jolanta says to her, I know you're scared, but you have to do these things. You have to go out. That's actually bad advice.
Because yeah, I agree.
For someone who's just shy or has a little bit of a confidence issue,
that's okay.
That's great advice to give. But for someone like Natalie, it's literally every time she goes out, it's just opening this wound over and over.
Did you, and again, y'all, the most problem, one of the most problematic things said this episode is Natalie says, I need a child to fill the emptiness and pain. A child, a husband. And we've said this over and over again.
You find a man of me that makes me safe.
If there was a reality gaze pyramid of things, remember, guys, this is close to the top. You don't need to find someone who completes you.
Because she said a man who fills me up.
Yeah. You don't need. No. Now, I love a man to fill me up. Yeah. But.
Fill me up to the cup. But that Crystal Gayle song.
But I'm saying be a whole person before you date.
Yes.
Be a whole person. Don't looking for the person who's going to be your other half. You can find ways to have someone who does, you know, you can kind of fill in the other's blanks in some ways.
Uh-huh.
But don't look for the someone who's going to be the yin to your yang.
No,
it's not how
be
it works.
Your own yin yang, y'all. Yeah. Ryan said something that
be the person you'd like to be with. Be that.
Ryan said the only thing that, again, I think Ryan and Jolanta are being good friends here. They just don't kind of recognize what they're dealing with.
No, they don't realize how the only thing, crazy she's
I think
being.
Ryan maybe started to get it because he said, you just need to do, we just need to do baby steps, which is like, but when I say baby steps, like she... The babiest of baby steps. But I agree. Like, she doesn't need to be dating, y'all.
Yeah.
She needs to go have her eat, pray, love. And and I think what she's going to end up doing is just trying. But none of that's going to.
Drive!
It's not any of it's going to be solved until she has a child. And Natalie's going to figure out a way. She's going to have a child. If there's a father in that child, unless she deals with it, she's going to run him off. And she's going to recreate the pattern. That she's going to grow up raising a child the way her
with
mom
her
did
mother,
her, and she's going to be bitter.
Oh, you just said it! And I know it's true. As soon as I hear it,
yeah.
Oh, it hurts my heart.
That is the pattern. And you know, I have a good friend who her father left them, and her mother was still is to this day, even though they've been divorced for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's still very bitter and hates her father. And thank God, my friend. Had to work really hard in like therapy and on her own self. This was like 3 or 4 years of like really working on herself to kind of just get to a place where she realized she doesn't have to recreate that.
And she can be in equitable romantic relationships and not have to replicate what happened with her. Because when you grow up with something, you guys, where else are you going to need to know how the world works?
That's where you learn.
That's where we learn all of our patterns. So when people say, but just because your parents did that doesn't mean you have to. No, that's how else you're going to see everything when you're younger.
Yes, and Natalie feels like her mother is probably the only person in the entire universe who understands her.
Ugh.
So she probably listens to, even though she doesn't want to, she probably listens to what her mother has to say. And I bet that relationship is complicated because I bet Natalie really loves her mother, but I bet a part of her hates her mother.
Oh, yeah.
Just because she probably blames her mom.
Well, that's the show.
That's the show, y'all. Now that we brought up your childhood trauma and you're just crying in the tub.
Boy, I would.
God, the single life is good.
I would tell you, if you're seeing a lot of, if you see a lot of Natalie and you sympathize with her always, and you're going, well, why Natalie's a victim in all this? Why is? I would encourage you to take a long look at what your own experiences are. I might talk to someone because this is classic.
It's
traumatic,
very classic
trauma response.
It's what I was excited about watching The Single Life, and we don't get them in like the Ed segments, which we don't even watch.
Nope.
Or really even in the Stephanie. That's kind of what we learned from the article, y'all. A lot of the Stephanie is just fake.
These were the more emotional ones.
They balance it. Look, they've got to have reality stars on some of these people. But Debbie, Natalie, St. John, this is, I think that dating is, I think, the most one of the most vulnerable things humans can do.
I agree. It's hard.
And watching people do it, we really can use this opportunity to see ourselves in these people.
That's why I love that show, Dating Around. I loved that
show too. Yeah. Because that show was really good about, and kind of what 90 Day Fiancé does with some of these people, not all of the storylines, they don't put expectations of where the end game is going to end up on these stories. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But y'all, St. John's going to bang a lot of people across America.
A lot of eras, all hands across America.
He's going to go to, where's he driving? Where is she? Connecticut?
Yeah, but I think he went to the Appalachian Trail. St. John was in South Carolina for a while. All my friends were all about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, where are you from?
I wouldn't mind dating a Southern girl or a Gothic girl.
Yeah.
Blonde Southern girl.
Anyway, y'all, hey, look, we'll be talking about this still all on our live show, y'all. Come see us in Chicago.
What's in our live show?
Chicago. We got tickets.
Chicago. That title in town.
We're going to be on Friday the 7th and 8th. Our 8th, the Saturday show is sold out, but the Friday show is not sold out.
It's about 50%, so we're
50%,
good.
So we got plenty of tickets. Bring all your friends. You know what?
And bring your husbands.
No, God.
I'm scoping out space for Poodle's playpen there, right at the front.
Bring your homophobic neighbor. Or, you know,
I think they leave pretty early.
But bring somebody who won't gay bash us but will be offended enough. Bring them too.
Oh, I love, that's my favorite audience guest. Who's just slightly offended.
But can't deny that it was somewhat titillating to
who's
them.
Who's had kind of their world rocked.
Yeah, I love those.
I will mime getting fucked by a train of men, and they'll be offended, but also somehow titillated.
Oh, yeah. What does titillated mean for? You could do the signal for approach meeting point. That is.
Ooh. Short one.
Yep, there it is. I really love this from Mapleland, Middlebury, Vermont. Love this train whistle.
Me too. Love it.
Okay, ages 5 and up.
There you
Jesus.
Go.
Y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love, poods?
Yes. And if you look like Mr. Badger from Toad Hall. First of all, it was a good Christmas, wasn't it? that Toad Christmas was wild. And call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. juvederm.com. That's juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.